watch, Jacob Watts.
What the hell is a gigawatt?
You are listening to Back to the 80s Radio, and we're introducing the 80s to a whole new generation. We are talking about the memories that made that decade so... Wait, I said decade. We are talking about the memories that made that decade so freaking awesome. Today, we are going to be kicking off a series of shows, so we're glad that you're here. It's on the history of 80s music. We're going to have a little break next week because of our Halloween show. But we're going to continue a week after that with a series on 80s music. Don't forget to leave us a review on the platform that you listen to us on and tell everybody that you know about the show. Visit our Facebook page, send us a message, do whatever you need to do to spread the word about Back to the 80s Radio. If you have any ideas for topics for the show and you'd like to share it with us, send us an email at back2the80sradio@gmail.com. Now, as always, we cannot do this show by ourselves. To my side is a man that used to eat nothing but Hostess apple pies and Tang, and a slice of Wonder Bread with parquet and sugar right before heading off to Hollywood Boulevard. Here at Back to the 80s Radio, we just call him the Chang. Chang, it's been 1 week since I last saw you, and let me say, you don't look any older.
Hear thee, Chang of Changness. Tonight, it is that night you gather with your number one compadre, your mi amigo, partner in crime, sidekick, road dog, homie, Tusky Toscano. And Tusky Toscano, let me tell you, you look freaking Changtastic.
Oh, well, thank
you,
sir.
As I look at the monitor right now.
Thank you very much.
I've got to say, you probably put on 5 pounds.
No.
And that is in your head only, but the body looks trim.
How about these guns right there? How about these guns right there?
Oh, those are magnificent. Did you buy those?
I had them on layaway.
Mm,
anyway.
I see.
I know you're sporting that blue Clippers no sleeve shirt from the 1980s. As a matter of fact, that shirt is from the Whittier Clippers, not LA Clippers. No, Whittier Clippers.
Whittier. That's where my grandson played a season. So I sport the team that he played on.
I can tell you already, they're better than the real Clippers.
Well, yes, they were. And yeah. I'm a Laker fan.
We have come to that part of the show where we like to say hi to everybody listening. Shout outs to the guys and gals at the University of Utah. Everybody listening to us from the state of Texas, from New York, especially from, hey, good old Brooklyn. How you doing? The great people of Florida and our newest listeners, Chang. You're not going to believe this. Are you ready for this?
Who is it? I'm ready.
From the island of Cuba. Gracias, mi hermano. What? From the island of Cuba.
Wow.
So our hats off to you guys. Thank you for allowing us into the beautiful, beautiful island of Cuba.
Muchos gracias, mi cubanos. Please send us some cigars if you like tonight's show or next week's show.
Please send us a recipe on how to make authentic Cuban white rice with black beans. Oh, my goodness. Cuban food is delicious.
Yes, it is.
We're going to be talking about what made music in the 80s so cool. So stick around because a bit of history is coming up and a whole lot of hate from the Chang.
Oh, I'm not the only hater in the room. He sits on the other side, the hater in the room.
Mind. A refreshing attitude when things get hot. Cool is all you got to any country. Cool, to any country. Cool. So chill on out when the heat comes on with the cool.
For classic radio listening.
You're listening to Back to the 80s.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages and all walks of life, welcome back to the 80s Radio. Chang here. We are going to discuss the many forms, artists, opinions, and some lists of who is number one in pop music, or the question I posed to my partner in crime.
Wait a minute. We never said we're not going to be doing any kind of list about number one. We're not doing that.
I stand to be corrected, as my partner is suggesting that I will be the bearer of hate, and he
always
will
are.
Be the angel. Oh, yeah. Holy malarkey! Somebody get me a turkey leg. Now, Toscano,
yes.
A question for you.
Here we
are
go.
You ready?
No. Ladies and gentlemen,
stop.
I just want to point out that Chang, before the break, was asking me all a bunch of questions, trying to seem that he's going to give me a university symposium here on pop music. But let's go ahead. Chang, go ahead and ask away.
In your small mind and very young mind, when you were playing with toys in the 80s, and your lack of experience except for what you read, which is a good thing and a bad thing, who would you say, artist-wise, influenced pop music rise in the 1980s? At least give me a couple of artists that you think created the trend, which we call pop music of the
80s. Well, first of all, pal. First of all, people got to keep in mind that by the end of the 70s, the big popular genre of music that was declining and that was very, very popular was disco music. And in small part, due because of a few genres, one of them being punk rock, metal, and of course, the alternative pop sound, which is known now as new wave. Check this out. The bands that were dominating in the early 80s, these were bands from even before groups such as The Clash, Blondie, Talking Heads, the B-52s, and other new wave and mainstream punk bands, right?
New wave and punk, correct.
That is correct.
Correctamundo.
However.
You are correct, my friend.
I'm always right because I know.
No. Oh,
I know my music.
Wait a minute.
Let me.
Put the car in park.
Let me school you for a second.
Holy Jesus, please come down and save me.
You got to keep in mind.
Please, by all means. You're crazy.
You got to keep in mind that. There was an emergence of...
You were a fetus.
Yeah. No, I was not. That was probably in 71 I was a fetus.
Oh.
Pop music being known as the popular genre of music.
Right.
That took its influence...
That's why it's pop music.
Right. Smart ass. That took its influence from many other genres of music. Remember, we're hitting 1980 now, and it did start off a little slow. I got to tell you, Chang, it was much like the 60s. The first couple of years of the 80s, they weren't particularly that much memorable if you ask the people at Billboard. Top three songs of Billboard in 1980, number three was Magic by Olivia Newton-John. Number two, Another Brick in the Wall by Pink Floyd. Great band. Call Me was number one by Blondie. In 1981, once again, we don't see anything that exciting, according to Billboard. Number three, Lady by Kenny Rogers. And number two, Endless Love by Diana Ross and Lionel Richie. Number one, we got Kim Carnes with Betty Davis Eyes. It wasn't until 1982, Chang, that we start seeing a little bit of change in Billboard's top 100. I'm not saying that there wasn't any great music in 80 or 81. I'm saying that according to Billboard and other charts, it wasn't as memorable or as exciting. We've said here on the show many times, we even had our top 10 list from every year, we've said that we don't agree with Billboard. We think they were full of crap. If you go to 1982, even Billboard starts recognizing that the 80s are now getting some sort of a snowball effect. In number three, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts with I Love Rock and Roll. Number two, which I think should have been number one, was Eye of the Tiger by Survivor. And number one
Every,
was...
All you Italians love that song.
Number one,
why don't you all just wear high top Converse and go running up
the
freaking stairs?
Give me a break. Go drink your Corona, college guy.
Hola, said the wise Chola.
And then number one was physical with Olivia Newton-John. So what I'm trying to say is that
crappy song.
It was not a crappy song. As a matter of fact, Survivor, one of the greatest underrated bands with some of the most memorable music from the 80s that you will ever hear. And I don't need to say anymore. I've said it, period.
No.
Anyway, what I was trying to say before I was so rudely interrupted was a decade that started introducing new instrumentation within that genre with the use of electronic equipment, a lot more than what they used to in the 70s. So much so that now one of the biggest things that the 80s brought with newer genres, such as post-disco, Eurodisco, dance pop.
Yes.
So all these things arrived in the 80s.
The day in the 80s when music went to the digital, the techno sound.
Right.
I think music took a turn for the cheapness. That's my own personal belief. I think that if you can create a sound with your basic instruments like everyone did before you, the individuals you were influenced by, then stick to that. If you want to go into the technical part of it, hey, you know what? Go ahead. But do it in a form to where I can't hear it.
You had mentioned a few pop artists, and I'm going to tell you right now, so the record is clear. The two artists, the king and queen of pop, Michael Jackson and Madonna, period.
And, right.
The rest,
what I told you.
The rest, as I told you.
So, I told you on one of the lists that I compiled, he was at number four.
Who was at number four?
Okay,
Michael Jackson?
Prince. Michael Jackson. It was Prince, okay? It was Wham, George Michael, okay? Then it was Madonna.
Yeah, but that was on a list when we were talking about Billboard and we made our own list.
Take it easy. And there was Duran Duran, and then it was Michael Jackson.
Okay. All right, wait.
Oh, please.
Wait, do you realize we're talking about a different show today?
Yeah, I'm just pointing it out. Because when we discuss pop, the ocean of pop music is huge in the 1980s.
Yeah, but not everything. Look, I know there's tons of music that is called pop, but it's not. Let's be real. It's not pop.
Okay. You wrote the book on music all of a sudden. You're the godfather of music.
I am, yes.
So you have to sit in your big leather chair and go over lists and music. Yeah, it's one of them. You know, I see how this works.
You are right. I got to
shoulder
admit,
pad. You probably
Did I wear shoulder pads?
Did you wear shoulder pads in your pink blazer when you sat at your kind of gangster mafia chair?
No pink blazers.
Compiling these lists so you would give the thumbs up, thumbs down on who could be pop and who wasn't.
I am telling you, I agree with you with your choices for who was leader in pop back then. Yes, absolutely. Prince, Madonna, Michael Jackson, Wham, including Whitney Houston.
Let me hit you with this. Would you consider the B-52s, okay,
No, I don't even consider
the
them
Cars.
A
wait, now wait, stop. There's the hate. Consider them to be pop?
No.
The Cars and the B-52s, or would you classify them as the Cars a rock band, but the B-52s kind of a new wave band, would you not say?
Now, the B-52s is a different animal that I don't know. Call it punk rock, call it new wave / punk / pop. And the same thing with the Cars. It's like rock / pop.
No, you can't call the B-52s a punk rock band because at a punk rock gig, you get in the pit and you body slam.
No,
and you cause bodily harm.
No. We're not talking about that.
Yes, you do at a punk rock gig.
We're not talking
about that. The B-52s is not all about that.
No, I know.
If you body slam somebody, if you put the B-52s in a mosh pit, they will get all their bones broken. And then you won't hear this. Before you hear the sound of the cover, the way that dude sings.
Yeah, that's horrible.
You love it?
No, I hate it. Anyway.
I'll sing to you like that.
No, I hate it. Bah, it's disgusting. I do agree with you, George Michael, as well. Now, would you consider Bruce Springsteen being one of the, as he was one of the best-selling artists of that decade, would you consider him to be pop? Because he was in the list as Billboard's top 200, one of their greatest artists for pop.
Yes, I would. And the reason being, he had a couple of songs that were so popular and played by every radio station, rock-wise or those who wanted to play rock, over and over again. People began to identify with it and know that song as comfort, whether they're in their cubicle, driving in their cars, at a family barbecue. Those songs became kind of stamped and imprinted on the listener. So, of course, it's in their mind, it's going to be something poppy. You know what I'm saying? It went along with selling cars and the good old American pretend dream. So, yes, Springsteen in some songs is pop.
I like, how you have to throw your Rolling little stab Stone. Out there. You have to throw your little stab there at politics. I like that. I like that.
Thank you. I always got to get I got to get him. I got to get him. I got to hit him with the right and the left.
So you were so saying were the Rolling Stones.
Uh-huh. Also have a couple of tunes that became, kind of elevator music. You know what I mean? Oh, water cooler music. Oh, it's playing here. It's playing in the market. The day you hear a set list of music in the office or a market, that's when you know you hit pop.
Yep. Boom, well, look what happened. AC/DC, they had pop chart success as well.
Oh, yeah.
Men at
so
Work.
So did David Bowie.
Yep. Men at Work, your favorite band, Air Supply. You know?
Oh, yes, yes. And, oh, your favorite band also, Chicago and Rush has a couple of songs that are categorized as pop.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what.
Do you think Aerosmith from the 80s to recently is considered pop?
Aerosmith did have some pop songs, yes.
How about Def Leppard?
Yes, definitely.
Amazing. I got to hand it to those guys.
Wow.
They've come a long way.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. There's a Velcro on my soul.
When we come back, we're going to be talking more about pop music, the charts, and yes, definitely the hate of the Chang is going to be with us here.
Thank
on
you.
The one and only.
Thank you.
Back to the 80s radio.
Nobody has the movie I want.
Hey, if it's on video, Blockbuster probably has it. I mean, we have over 10,000 videos.
Wow.
I'll watch these fast and have them back tomorrow, I promise. Relax. At Blockbuster, you can keep your videos for 3 evenings, so take home plenty. And use our 24-hour quick drop.
Do you have any children's videos?
Sure. Blockbuster's America's family video store. You know, we have more kids' videos than any place else. Hey, more movies, more nights, more fun.
Blockbuster Video. Wow. What a difference.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Shadow Stevens, and you must listen to Back to the 80s Radio. It's the law.
Welcome back. This is the incomparable greatest 80s show on planet Earth. Back to the 80s radio. This is Toscano from the dynamic duo of 80s radio. We are talking about pop music today. We thought it was very appropriate to kick off the whole series on that. And of course, Chang and I will have our differences as always, and he, as always, and I, as always, will be both correct in our own mind. And we will also hate on each other's music.
Yes,
so,
that's the best part.
A little disclaimer. The 80s, everybody could take a little bit of hate, you know?
Yes, that's what's wrong with the world. Everybody is a bunch of wuss cats now. Everybody wants to be recognized and important over their neighbor or the other guy.
And we can't all get along.
That's
right. But we can all still be friends. The beginning of the 80s, bands and artists such as Olivia Newton-John, which is, you'll say that's a given. But what about bands like Men at Work and bands like Kool & the Gang?
I would have to say I was disappointed in Kool & the Gang because they became poppy. And of course, you know where we stand on that. I think MTV video killed the music box. But I was very disappointed in Kool & the Gang, but not surprised because they looked good making videos. So, of course, their songs are going to be played more at the workplace or in the office or at the doctor's office or as you're getting processed to go to jail for the night. Oh, no, that was that experience.
You know what, Jay,
you know what I mean?
You mentioned the killing of radio, which MTV, of course. But you got to admit, come on,
you
have to admit that the pop scene benefited. It benefited greatly from music videos and cable television because there were bands and solo artists who wouldn't have been recognized. And then here comes the video scene. They start putting their videos on MTV or VH1. And what happens with these unknowns? Now, all of a sudden, they're huge. Many of these genres, artists or performers can be identified just by the images of their videos. Let me give you a quick example. I was talking with somebody who wanted to remember a song. I knew what song they were talking about. They were a younger person and they couldn't put it into words. They had no idea. But they said, you know what?
Did
I saw the video. No, they couldn't remember. However, they did say this. I saw the video. And they were at some sort of a Renaissance carnival, and there were little people dancing around, and they were all, and I go, oh, easy. That was the safety dance by Men Without Hats. And they go, that
good
is
God.
It. But you know what? It was an important element of 80s music, the visual aspects as well.
Right. Nightmare.
Promotional videos. A lot of these bands, if not every single band and performer and artist that was on MTV, gained more popularity for being on television.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
MTV may have killed the actual radio star or radio business as it was.
And Van Halen.
And Van Halen. But it also picked up Van Halen and picked up their sales as well.
Pop sales. Yeah.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But
it
made them better. It made them better, monetarily speaking, right?
Diamond Dave left. Big Eagle.
Yeah.
Continue.
Okay.
Diamond Dave created a monster. Pop music and MTV created a monster with Van Halen. Van Halen was never the same. Oh, yes, Sammy Hagar. Everybody loves Sammy Hagar. Rock and roll. Montrose rock and roll of the 70s.
Well, Sammy Hagar is great.
Rock and roll to his own. Oh, Sammy's a badass cat. But yet, the music of Van Halen with the transition from Diamond Dave to Sammy was very different.
Yes, it
was. Everything about it was very different.
It was.
A little bit more poppy.
Yeah.
You know,
more mainstream,
I'll say that.
Right? More mainstream,
right,
definitely.
Yeah, more.
Much
and
more
like
acceptable
said,
at high schools.
Also, the techno of music came in.
Yes.
Eddie started messing around with the synthesizers. So
right.
He started seeing a climb in the synthesizing type of music as opposed to the early 80s, brother, where you mentioned the techno. It was, you know, getting messed around with the board. Back in the early 80s, we had the mixing. Remember when you can go ahead and scratch and mix?
Yep.
So that had a way to slow up the music and give it a different texture, a different beat, a different rhythm. So it's insane how in the 80s, music evolved and changed and was able to use different types and forms, sound of that music that created so many different bands and so many different styles that we see now. Who else would you say is a riveting band that did something chaotic and different, but yet captured everybody? So it automatically was pop, but yet it was kind of a more feeling type of pop. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. I think
certain
I
songs
understand.
That Madonna would
so
do.
I don't know if I would go that far, but I'm going to tell you this band that I have in mind. You know very well, once I mention them, what they mean for me. But this is a band that started total rock somewhere along the way. Yes, MTV came along, offered them a spot, and they took advantage, and they became enormous. They became a giant that went even out of control at some point. I'm talking about the band from Ireland, U2.
Oh, of course.
You know, and they took advantage of the pop scene as well.
Yeah, they did. Yes. MTV made them pretty glamorous. It made them easy on the eye and better rockers. You know what I mean? People would tend to watch the video and rock out. Now, I will say one good thing about MTV. MTV did create a lot of house parties And I got to play around with so many girls at house parties during MTV. That's what I'll say about MTV.
Keep in mind.
I'm no Mark Goodman.
Thank God. You'd be slow if you were Mark Goodman. Okay.
I'm more like Triple J Jackson, wouldn't you say?
Yes, definitely. You're a lot more of a handful than he was. So
I can't tell you. Look at this.
The advent of these new genres included music like electro, techno, house, freestyle, Eurodance. I mean, this is stuff that went beyond the 1990s, and it actually developed even bigger in the 90s. And throughout the decade, R&B, hip-hop, all these urban genres were becoming pretty common in the inner cities, right, of these large metropolitan cities. And rap started getting also poppy. Mm-hmm. You mentioned during a break, even groups like N.W.A.
It's funny when we talk about pop and you try to categorize pop music as a whole, it's incredibly impossible, I think, to categorize pop music as a whole, as into one style. But I will say pop music is popular music.
Yeah.
So whatever is popular on the airwaves, on TV, like I mentioned, the other places, the workplace, the elevator, doctor's offices, house parties, gatherings, I mean, everywhere, commercials, it's going to be popular. It's going to be embedded in the back of your subconscious freaking mind. It will play over in your dreams. And it becomes so popular that it's, that's what I want. So it makes you go out and buy the album, which creates more anticipation for more poppy music from the artist. And the artist somewhat kind of loses, I think, their true emotion of the music to coincide with the poppy sound, which we both know the record companies want, the networks want, the radio stations want, because it creates balance and dinero. So pop music, as we just, it's funny because not one type of a music. It's just what was happening then. That's what the 80s really is.
And you
could call the 80s a pop decade.
Exactly. I think that a lot of people kind of close their minds and think that pop music was only, you know, Debbie Gibson or Tiffany or Hall & Oates. But it went much farther than them. It was artists like Exposé. It was Boy George, you know, Laura Branigan, The Bangles, Stacey Q.
Tears for Fears. Bill Collins.
The Thompson Twins. I mean, it goes, list of pop artists will go on much, much longer than this show. So we can't mention them all. Don't enclose pop music to just a few artists because, believe it or not, the majority of artists that you heard and saw on MTV and that you heard at the supermarkets, like Chang was mentioning a little while ago, that you would hear at school. Remember during lunchtime or any breaks at high schools, they brought the speakers out and they brought music and they played all kinds of music back then. It was all the popular music. I remember at my high school, they would play some Depeche Mode, Stacey Q, and then they'd follow it up by playing like Def Leppard.
Wow. I would have been tearing lockers out and throwing desks if I would have had to listen. No, yeah, just kidding. You know what? I had the same experience when I was in high school. They didn't play metal or rock or the punk that I was listening to. It was all pretty much, you know, pop-oriented music, you know. And you see all the jocks and the cheerleader types gathered in the square, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, gathered up, you know. Rocking their heads.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you see, like, all the kind of subdued individuals, the intelligent ones, kind of the nerdy ones, ones that kept to themselves, they would gather somewhere else and they would be digging the music and,
you know,
starting to feel that vibe. And then you had all us rockers that were hanging out on the perimeter going, man, this music sucks. Man, sometimes I just want to blow this freaking school up, you know?
I remember. Yeah. And I mean, they used to play AC/DC's Back in Black in high schools. At supermarkets,
they never played that for us.
At supermarkets, they would play Hysteria by Def Leppard. Or here we go. Here's a band that was rock, but was what's probably, out of all the rock bands, this was probably the most poppy band of all. Tell me if I'm wrong. Bon Jovi. Especially with their album, Slippery When Wet.
Oh, my God. if those guys weren't so cute, they would suck. They would suck. I mean, they took cuteness, ran away with Bruce Springsteen music and John Mellencamp music.
Yes.
But they hid themselves in the kind of poppy where Motley Crue started going with Poison, you know, especially after Motley Crue's lead singer killed somebody and didn't go to prison for it.
Yeah.
So he just changed his look. The Beastie Boys.
Yes. Yes.
Kind of hip-hop rock.
Rap, and they played rock, their own instrument. But it was definitely pop rock, because they were heard all over the place. Now, I'm going to give you one band, and you tell me if you agree or not. Queen.
Okay. I agree. Because We Are the Champions is very poppy.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody has become a brilliant, beautiful piece of music to something that is played at ball games and commercials and everywhere you go. And it's like, it's overplayed. So it's now, you know, to some of us, it's beyond poppy.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, it's like Stairway to the Heaven. Stairway to Heaven with Zeppelin.
Yes.
Another song overplayed.
The Eagles, Hotel California.
Pop all the way.
Exactly.
George Thorogood. Bad to the Bone, pop all the way.
You know what's interesting about that song, Bad to the Bone, when it originally came out in the 80s, I thought it was a 50s song because it has that feel, that tone, right? And I never imagined that they were going to, that George Thorogood was going to be pop, because I thought, oh, this is 50s rock.
Yeah, you know what? George Thorogood to me was like 50s rock. Old classic rock, hippie rock.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I thought, you know what? Yeah, that guy probably slams back a lot of booze and creates this kind of bluesy, hippie 50s rock. You know what I mean? Kind of like you just got thrown off a horse and grabbed your guitar, you know?
Yeah. Other performers that I would have never pictured fall into pop because I thought, okay, this is slow. Because I had an idea in my mind when I was younger that pop was somewhere between love songs and rock. And I thought, okay, that's what pop is, because I had no idea that it was just anything that was popular. However, there were performers that I still can't picture being in pop, but they were, such as Sergio Mendes, who, by the way, sang a song that is probably the hardest song ever written to play, which is Never Gonna Let You Go. Fantastic song. Other artists that you would go, excellent. What, really? Really? For example, your favorite artist, Thomas Dolby. She blinded me with Science, which, by the way, I told you on the other show, I love that song. And you told me that's the number one song most hated by you from all of the 80s.
How about Julio Iglesias is also classified as pop.
That is correct.
Music.
That is correct.
I mean, what?
Michael Cimbello with Maniac. And here's one for you. How about The Police?
Yes, that is a good point. I was thinking about The Police, and yes, Synchronicity album. That song is the first one driven to tears. I think that started creating a move. Also, when they did the video about the teacher being attracted to the student, remember?
Yeah.
Don't Stand.
Don't stand so close to me. Also, Every Breath You Take. Then you've got songs. That was in 83. Then you've got plenty of music from The Police. And then you got artists such as one of my favorite in the world, probably next to you two. I would say it's my top three. Toto.
Toto. That, to me, is another band that is sad that they went pop, because I have some of their music prior to the pop album, and they were a very good, solid, tight band, and they explored with so many different sounds, and they had so much instrumental talent. It was sad for them to have a pop song, but yet it brought them some prestige and some notoriety and some cash.
So. Yes, Yes.
But yes, sad. Just like the Police. You could say the same about Phil Collins of Genesis.
Yeah.
Genesis.
Yes.
Also Genesis. Went poppy.
Now, when we come back, we are going to continue our rant. And we also have a very special guest coming on the show. So stick around. This is Back to the 80s Radio.
Radio is so much different than it was in the 80s. We had it all. The music, the movies, the DJs, and morning shows. Back to the 80s Radio is a show from the 80s in podcast form. We bring the memories from that awesome decade back. Join Toscano and Chang every Friday as they take you on a ride back in time, sharing their experiences and laughs. Stop on by and discover some of the wacky things this crazy duo comes up with. They talk about it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly of the greatest decade. Don't miss the greatest 80s podcast in the world, Back to the 80s Radio.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What I try to tell you, this country, you got to make the money first. Then when you get the money, you get the power. Then when you get the power, then you get the woman.
If they were a laxative, they'd be so powerful, you could stand on your head and shit on the ceiling.
That position would not only be unavailing, but also undignified.
And now, back to the 80s with Toscano and Chang.
Hits 92.5 and Back to the 80s Radio. That was Every Breath You Take. The Police nominated for 3 Grammy Awards, including Song of the Year, Best Pop Performance by a Duo or Group with Vocals. Mick Slayer to my side. Mick.
Oh, The Police, such a great band. And to think you got so many different sounds out of just 3 cats. Totally smooth. They evolved music to another level, Brohand. Wouldn't you think so? Hey, here's a cat that I thought, went from that to, bad boy rock and roll, I'm a drummer, to leading it and then taking it to the pop culture. I'm talking about the one and only Phil Collins. What's your vibe on the Phil cat, my friend?
Oh, coming out of Genesis, you can't get any more musical than Phil Collins.
And talking about smoothness, we're going to be letting you all know that we're going to lay on some Phil Collins right here, and you're listening to Rock and Roll Radio with Back to the 80s Radio. We'll come back in 5. Take it easy.
How can I just let you walk away? Just let you leave without a trace? When I stand here taking every breath with you, ooh, you're the only one who really knew me at all. Share the laughter and the pain.
dialed into Phil Collins with that great song. Oh, and from the movie Toscano, I gotta tell you, I bet you that's one of your most favorite Phil Collins songs.
It's a very good song, and I do like it quite a bit. You know, it was made for the movie Against All Odds, right? With Jeff Bridges, yes, James Wood, Rachel Ward. Mm-hmm. You ever seen that movie?
That was before. Of course I did. I had to see that movie. It was a girl movie. I had to date back then.
Nice.
I did many things against my religion. I saw Spandau Ballet.
Oh, come on. They're great. Spandau Ballet. Hey, now that we're talking pop, Spandau Ballet.
You have to love them, but if not, you have to admire them for their incredible video and those dynamic suits that they all wore made them look like they were straight out of the legal office, but singing and playing instruments.
You know what? I am appreciating so many
Is that your favorite song?
No.
Head over heels and
true. Yeah. From them. Yeah. Definitely. That's my favorite song.
But it's a song.
Okay. Here we go.
Oh, my God.
I have noticed that now that I'm older, I am appreciating.
Yeah, the poster.
I'm appreciating. No, I don't have the poster. Look who's talking. You got the poster of Dexy's Midnight Runners right behind you and Wham to your left. And then Peter Gabriel and Peter Cetera to your right. So what are you going to do?
Yes, autograph. I have an autograph from Peter Cetera.
You do?
Yes. Right near the crack of my ass.
80s music. Oh. If you just joined us, we are talking about 80s music and the history of 80s music, and particularly the genre of pop. 80s music was also defined by older solo artists who contributed much of their best work during the decade, of course, but they came before. For example, Michael Jackson, who is otherwise known as the King of Pop, with his iconic album, Thriller. Tina Turner, who became a solo sensation with her album Private Dancer. And one more artist.
After she left Ike.
Yes.
After
the beating years. And one more artist, because it was one of my favorite artists, except for his tantrums on stage, kicking his piano, etc. Billy Joel, who was a singer and songwriter, but he dominated the pop charts in the 80s.
Oh, yes, he did, dude.
Do you remember that?
Billy Joel was all over the place in the 80s, especially the videos, Allentown, We Didn't Start the Fire.
Uptown
Joel.
Girl. Uptown Girl was Uptown everywhere. Girl. And you heard that song every single place. It could be a library, a hospital, a liquor store, everywhere.
Yeah. You buying a hooker. It was everywhere.
At Mass, Catholic Church.
Uptown Girl.
While the pop music scene remained, a little bit harder edge rock bands continued to produce. They continued to produce solid albums, but also started dabbling into another genre for them, which was the pop scene. And bands such as the ones that you mentioned, including Motley Crue, including bands such as Skid Row, even Sebastian Bach and Whitesnake. The two most famous songs that MTV played from them, which was Here I Go Again and Is This Love?
Oh, God, yes.
I got to tell you, Ching, I'm sorry you probably don't like those songs because they were pop. But, come on. They were the best songs ever. Come on.
Okay, overplayed.
Of course. Okay, we're talking about pop.
Okay.
And the songs that were
I got
popular.
Ahead of myself.
Yes, you did. Once again. As always.
Terrible.
And songs that were popular everywhere. You could go to a book fair. You could go to a school event, a track meet from high school or a family gathering, even a house party, and you could hear Here I Go Again from Whitesnake.
Oh, that's terrible. There's so many artists that we could talk about that bounced into the pop, in quotation, realm. In Excess, another band.
Yeah, definitely In Excess.
The Go-Go's.
What about Chaka Khan?
Oh, Chaka Khan, yeah.
Artists like Lionel Richie, Donna Summer, Diana Ross. And of course, you mentioned it a little bit earlier, Prince, who was, there was always some type of a battle between who was greater, Prince or Michael Jackson? And
yeah, that was always ridiculous.
Yeah.
Two different types of artists, two different types of creativity, two different types of musical energy. I think people, anybody that would compare or comparing the flashiest, more acceptable black looking performer that would captivate white America. That's what I think.
Other artists that were very poppy, although their music was not poppy, were bands such as The Cure, which is also one of Chang's favorite bands.
I love them.
Cyndi
Lauper, very much culture, pop culture. And I think Cyndi Lauper dove into not having a certain any kind of a style, but to grab the pop culture by the throat with her own style and her own colorfulness, and created a music that made people dance. Any type of music in the 80s that made people dance became pop. And I think that's how certain rock bands made that transition. I don't know if they were going for it or not, but how they made the transition in the culture of the 80s back then.
Yes.
Aerosmith, Def Leppard, you know, Van Halen, anything that made people dance by the poolside,
yes,
at the beach or in a club, in, you know, at a house party. That was the formula for pop, which we're discussing right now.
I've got a band that I'm thinking of that became extremely popular now that we're talking about pop, especially with the advent, of course, of MTV. But this band had songs, and I'm going to mention a couple of songs that you maybe have never heard, such as La Raza del Sol, Mother, Father, Dead or Alive, Lay It Down, Escape, Keep on Running, Who's Crying Now, Stone in Love, and the ever so popular Don't Stop Believing. And I'm talking about none other than the band Journey.
There's so many words I could say.
You're not going to hate on Journey, are you?
Wait a minute, please. Oh, please take it easy. Ladies and gentlemen, take it easy. Journey, an iconic band. Props off to everybody in the band. Dynamic. That band evolved with Greg Rawley and, of course, Neil Sean from Santana, a great band during the 70s with the ever so great Carlos Santana, who only did a couple of tunes not too good, you know, the Z-Pop album. Anyway, Journey, Steve Perry, phenomenal singer,
yes,
correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Cool hair back then.
Yeah, very tight pants.
Wore T-shirts and ditto pants like a high school chick. But chicks dug him.
Yeah.
He went poppy because of the style of song that they were creating. Love songs, heartbreak songs, missing songs, love you songs, memory songs. That's going to jump and generate the psyche. So people are going to want to hear it. Why? Because it makes them feel a certain way. Boom. Automatic. You were the pop king. Then when they added John Cain to the mix as their new keyboard player after the exit of the great Greg Rawley, that band, Jonathan Cain, changed that band. Him and Steve Perry took a wholesome rock and roll band with true grit emotions and songs and rhythmic beats that could make people dance, but just carry you away in a rock and roll vibe to a pop type cultured, more in touch with your emotions, which is feeding to the young culture, us teenagers, and because we're falling in and out of love. So you're looking for a song that's going to make you feel that way. So blam, they became a very pop oriented band.
Nevertheless, they never stopped being good and they never stopped being popular. Now,
and they never stopped being rock.
They never stopped being
rock. First of all, I'm not a big hater, as you want to presume to all our lovely listeners.
Oh, my God. You had to take that jab at me.
Anyone that is a Changster's gangster will know that I'm a lover and sometimes a fighter. That's another story. But you have to understand, they did create some powerful energy type music back in the 80s, which you became popular because they were so dynamic and raw and loud and bold.
Yeah.
And they were able to turn the tables and be melodic. That's a great band. I'm not saying they're not a great band. I'm just saying that two individuals that jumped into the band made it more poppy, more accessible for everybody to enjoy. Lyrical content, certain beats, choruses, you know, that are pretty much catchy. So you got to give it to them on both ends of the court. I'm just saying those type songs, I wasn't cranking those.
They're not for you.
I wasn't looking for a Journey song if I wanted to go out into a mosh pit, bro.
Oh, brother.
Oh, my God.
With emphasis placed on not only the music, but visuals, now that MTV came on the scene, many musical groups and bands, they concentrated a lot, maybe even the same time that they did for their choreographies and for the music, than on their appearance. Bands such as, remember Duran Duran, Bananarama,
In Excess,
The Go-Go's. I mean, they produced these big stylized videos on exotic locations, you know, the ocean, and their clothes, you know. So the early to mid 80s are probably the best years for pop groups which incorporated fashion into their onstage personas.
Madonna, Salt-N-Pepa, Paula Abdul.
Yep.
Like you mentioned, Exposé was always a very great club band. You know, if you went clubbing back in the 80s and you were dancing wherever you would be, Exposé was always on the DJ's list.
Yes.
To play. Also, so was Madness.
Stacy Q.
There was Stacy Q, Lisa. I mean, you know what I'm, it was insane. And then, you know, that's when you had rap music coming in. And then, like I mentioned earlier, the dynamics of the club DJ and the way that he could scratch an album or mix an album into it.
I'm thinking of a band who started in the 70s, fell from the grace of that people really loved, from people who really loved metal and rock once the 80s hit. But I'm going to mention this band because I want to ask you, do you think that they were pop in the 80s? In the 80s. Mm-hmm. The band is Kiss.
Yes, I will go on a limb and say this. Yes, I do like some Kiss music, but yes, Kiss is a pop band, and I think Kiss started off as a hard rock pop kind of band. It was loud and aggressive. Their look was very scary, because you have to remember when Kiss came out, we were still living in a very 70s conservative world.
Right.
You know, everything about us was more conservative. Television shows like All in the Family, if you were in the States, Archie Bunker, those things, you know.
Oh, the Mickey Mouse Club was on TV in the 70s still.
So Kiss came out at a right time and kind of scared the shit out of people.
Yeah, yeah.
But yet, if you listen back to Kiss music, it is very catchy. You know, their beats are kind of all the same, but you do have the style and the hard rock and the awesome musicianship that they all had. Ace Frehley, you know, Peter Criss, the great singing from both Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley.
Paul Stanley, yeah.
You know, the music was scary, kind of like Halloween all the time, but I'm going to kick your ass. But yet their music was so in the want, it became poppy. Then they created a couple of movies and they became more poppy. Kind of like a comic book poppy. Then you have to think in the 80s, they took the makeup off.
Yeah. I think was such a major mistake on their part to do. Okay, if you're going to take your makeup off, leave it off forever, right? It's done.
Mm-hmm.
Keep playing, but leave it off. Don't leave it off for a few years and see, oh, that didn't work. Our sales are going down. Let's put the makeup back on.
Now that we're so old. Yeah. That's because it became, instead of, well, they, you know, Gene Simmons kept it on as a product, you know, marketing wise. Oh, let's go back and bring back nostalgia. It doesn't matter if we use the same other two cats who fell off the wagon. I'm talking about Peter Criss and Ace Frehley, the rock and roll world, if you live to even do that. Now, you know, Gene Simmons just decided to make some cash. put the makeup back on. You know, we'll capture all those kids back in the 70s and followed us through the 80s to keep them going on a ride.
Right, right.
Let's make some cash. And to me, yeah, they are pop. Why? Because they didn't put any new tracks on the radio, on the top charts, you know, not really even an album, just rekindling an old fire.
Right.
Why? It's popular. What are you? You're pop.
Yeah.
You're a bunch of old dudes that wear makeup that have a lot more money than most of us, and you're still pop. So, yeah, pop all the way. Now, I got a question for you because we're going to have to say goodnight. So all our lovely listeners out there, I want to invite you to our social media pages, our Facebook. Hit us right here on our own Back to the 80s show page and let us know who are your top five pop artists during the 1980s. And they could be in any genre of music, but who are your top five? So, Toscano, I'm going to ask you the same question.
Number five, Wham. Number four, Duran Duran. Number three, Prince. Number two, Madonna. And number one, the King of Pop, Michael Jackson.
Interesting. Good list. Good list. You bounced all over the place.
It's the perfect list.
Yes. Yeah. It's incredible that you remember these artists as you were playing in a playpen.
I was not in a playpen. I was old enough. And as a matter of fact, I had pins that I would attach to my Levi denim jacket from these artists. So, yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
Nice. I had a Levi denim jacket, too.
Yes, of course. Yours looked like Vinnie Vincent.
And my first, number five, would be none other than your favorite band, U2. Oh, yes, and then everybody knows that this guy was not only incredibly sexy, wrote and directed a beautiful movie, rode around on a bike, looking like he was in a marching band, but would kick your ass.
Pee Wee Herman.
With gorgeous women, none other than Prince. Number three would have one of the most dynamic, fashion trending of rock and roll music, none other than the late great, rest your soul, David Bowie. Then I'd have to go with ever so sexy, none other than the gracious queen of the sexy thing, Madonna.
Oh,
oh yes. Then I have to go with the late great, the king of Queen, the band that should have gotten more recognition in the States than they did, that has seen more fans now that he passed than ever before. And I'm talking about the late great Freddie Mercury of Queen. I want to break free. Band that captivated so much energy, soul, passion. The man to me is a hero. Anybody that can go out and do something for the benefit of others to make them feel good and have something terribly wrong with you to fight through, find the strength, dig within and have all the faith you can to go on stage and gunsling and kick ass. That is my number one pop artist of all.
Not a bad list at all, my friend. Not a bad list. I like it. I like it. There is no loser. There is only winners. All of us 80s music fans. Because when 1980 rolled around, the start of something that nobody ever expected occurred. And that was the kickoff to a transformation of music that we were never expecting. Music that was way ahead of its time. Music that was new to us and that would remain for generations to come. It would be music that would be involved in the lives of everybody who grew up in the 80s. It became the soundtrack to our life. It followed us through the 90s and 2000s and continues to be with us today, helping us out when we're happy, when we're sad. We can always turn back to a song that we used to listen to back in the 80s, and we will feel better. And no other music did that to us like 80s music. So, on behalf of Back to the 80s and myself, Toscano, I want to wish you a great week. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for making Back to the 80s Radio the number one 80s radio show on the planet. We do this for you. We do this for us, but we do this for the 80s. So go out there and introduce the 80s to a whole new generation. We'll see you next Friday on the Halloween show.
Okay, all my ladies and gents, boys and girls, janksters, gangsters, as I give you a send-off to another Changtastic week, I bid you all a sayonara. Adios, arrivederci, hasta mañana. And remember, you matter. Stay lifted, stay gifted. And I'm going to take you into another mindset. Something from the late Freddie Mercury and Queen from the Live Aid show in 1985. This is to remind you that radio is still alive and well in some of us. And some of us are going to bring it back. This is Queen with Radio Gaga. Catch you all next week. Or...